You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Today on VFN TV, we begin a three-day program dedicated to an amazing message by Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence. It is a Now message talking about iniquity drives. Did you know that God saves us from our sin, but we have to save ourselves from iniquity? That's right. There's something inside of every one of us that we got to pay attention to, the very thing that causes us and leads us to sin. James writes about it in the first chapter of James. But listen, I want to encourage you. This is going to really inspire you. It's going to encourage you and help you be able to deal with some things. But also, it's probably going to warn you, because the word of Scripture says that iniquity is going to increase as the day of the Lord approaches. And we as believers got to understand we don't want that, because think about this. He's going to talk about how even Lucifer himself was okay and perfectly fine in heaven until iniquity was found in him and he was cast out of heaven. What does that mean? God's not going to allow iniquity to come back into heaven, so we have to deal with that thing inside of us. As a matter of fact, Pastor John Kilpatrick is going to tell us how. As a matter of fact, check it out.
But today is sort of an interpretation of where we are. Whenever I start preaching, I don't want you to get offended. Last week, I come in here and buttered you up. This week, I'm going to batter you. No. I want to talk to you about you. I want to talk to you about the times that we're living in. I want to discuss some things that are inherent within us that we all struggle with. I call them iniquity drives. That's what I'm going to deal with today. I'm actually dealing with the subject of the mystery of iniquity, but I'm going to be titling this message particularly, Iniquity Drives. It's interesting. One of the things that the Lord has shown me, I think that many people feel like that in the last days God's going to send revival, and revival is going to sweep the nations of the earth, and we're going to move into some kind of a golden age. That's not going to happen. I believe revival is going to break out in a powerful way. I believe that for sure. But the Lord said that revival and darkness will be right there together. Evil men will wax worse and worse, and the righteous will become more righteous, right there under everybody's noses. Just like President Trump is being buffeted and fought on every hand, the church also is going to have revival and be resented, but it's not going to stop revival. It'll cause it to spread and to burn brighter than ever before. But it will be right here among evil men and women and a lot of evil that's going on in the earth. It will happen simultaneously. So don't be concerned about that. Amen? But I want to talk to you about you. I want to talk to you about your children. I want to talk to you about your things that you struggle with as a Christian. You see, Jesus died that we could become born again, be washed in the blood, our sins could be remitted, not just atoned for, but remitted. Atone means to cover over, but remitted means to be taken completely out of the way. So Jesus died that our sins could be remitted, we could be born again, have our names written in heaven. But you also got to remember that you still have a curse in you and you're going to die. It's part of the curse of the garden. If Jesus doesn't come before your time comes, you're going to die, and that's part of the curse. There's other things also that we picked up in the garden that Satan had in him, and we struggle with some of those very same things, and there's a way to overcome it. Many people are so concerned about the penalty of sin. They don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. That's called the penalty of sin. They're concerned about suffering the consequences of what they've done. They don't want to do that. But we got to stop thinking about the consequences of our sin and the penalty of it, and get free from the power of it. We got to get free from the power of sin, not worry about the penalty of sin. The axe, Jesus said, I've come to lay the axe to the root. And the axe has got to be laid to the root, and that thing's got to be broken in you. Because you know, as well as I do, that all of us struggle with things, that if people only knew what we were thinking, if people only knew what we're dealing with, what we are feeling so passionately on the inside, they'd be shocked at you. And they'd say, not you. But yes, it's true. Some people have proclivities towards sexual perversions. Some people have proclivities toward unfaithfulness in a marriage. Some people have proclivities toward alcohol, drugs. Some people have a leaning toward meddling in other people's business, sharing gossip. Some people have leanings toward trying to take places that they should not take. God never ordained it for you. But yet you're striving for something that the Lord, you know, is not for you having. It's called an iniquity drive. And I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute. Everybody has iniquity drives. Everybody. You have them. And those of you watching me by television, you have them. Live streamers, you have these leanings. You know when you feel them. You know when they start rearing up on you. Sometime it comes on you suddenly, and sometimes it just sort of gradually comes into your consciousness, and gradually you start feeling cold and indifferent toward the things of God. And then sometime you start dreaming dreams, and you can't shake that dream out of your mind, and you're tempted to follow that dream, and you know it's prohibited by the Holy Spirit. It's called iniquity drives. If that drive wasn't in you, you'd never have problems with it. But it's there, and there's only one way to deal with it, and I'll cover that toward the end of my message. Right now, I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to read several scriptures to you. I'm going to read four. There's going to be a lot more scriptures that I'm going to be reading. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, King James, it says, for the iniquity, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, the mystery of iniquity, it is a mystery. It's already working, he said. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. And that is a reference toward the church being taken out of the way before the Antichrist regime can fully take over and be in full sway and affect the nations of the earth and the peoples of the earth. It said that the mystery of iniquity is already working back in his day, but it's going to clabber and thicken. And by the time we get to the end of the age, it's going to be very powerful, very potent, affecting the masses of people on the earth. I'm just here today to talk about this, to see whether or not you can save yourself. Now you say, save myself? That's exactly what I said, and I'll show you in just a few minutes. The Lord can only save you. He saves you by his blood. He saves your soul. But there's some things you've got to save yourself from. And I'll show you that in the book of Corinthians. Luke 13, 27, but he will say, I tell you, I don't know you. Where are you from? This is New King James Version. He said, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. He didn't say you sinners. He used the word iniquity. Everybody, please say this word out loud with me. Iniquity. Matthew, King James Version, 7:23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Bible says in verse 12 of 24, Matthew, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want you to look at that before I leave it. In the last days, sin's not going to abound necessarily, but iniquity is going to abound, and it's going to affect the church because the world doesn't have the agape love of God. And the word used here is agape. The world knows what eros is, phileo, it knows what that is. But it said the agape love of many, which is the church, the household of faith, their love is going to wax cold. Why? Because iniquity is going to be thick as mud. And it's going to be pervasive. It will be everywhere. Now, you can be seated. What's loose today in America? And I don't know if you'll hear this other places or not, but is it okay if I tell you the truth from my perspective? There's a lawless spirit loose in America. And there is a lawless spirit loose in the nations of the earth. I don't know if you know this or not, and I don't know if I've told you this or not. I can't remember. But right now, the three premium foremost democracies in the earth have no government. Israel in the Middle East has no government. They have no prime minister. They have no active government right now. They have auxiliary arms of the government that keeps municipalities operating. But they don't have a prime minister. They have no government. And they haven't had one now for months and months. Because the last time they had an election, Prime Minister Netanyahu couldn't form a government. Now they've had another election. And neither he or the elected man can form a government. They have no government in Israel. The next democracy that the world has always looked to is Great Britain. The prime minister lost her job. They put another prime minister in, Boris Johnson. He's a very capable man. He's a very brilliant man. But because of the Brexit situation, the government in Great Britain has come to a screeching halt. There is no functioning government right now in Great Britain because they said by October the 31st, they're leaving the European Union with an agreement or without agreement, and they still don't have one. Time's clicking off. They have no functioning government right now. Parliament is not in session. They say that they're not going to let it be in session until after they have the Brexit divorce. In the United States, everybody here knows, they may say that we have a functioning government, but we have no functioning government in America. All they have on their mind is getting even with each other. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all of it. And like I said, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm just a Christian. And I'm an independent. But the three major democracies of the earth have no functioning government as of this morning. That's the three major democracies of the earth that the world has always looked to. Free people has always looked to Israel, Great Britain, and America. The democracies of the world are in trouble everywhere. So right now, there is a lawless spirit that's loose, not only in America, but in the nations of the world. And especially here in America right now, I have never seen, and I know you will agree with me, I've never seen such disregard for the Constitution. Never seen such disregard for the law. Even state and local governments are now passing laws that their police department cannot work with the federal government and ICE agents. It is a blatant manipulation. Never before. And when I first heard the term, I said, surely that's not true. But as time has gone by, I realize that most of what we get on television now that's called journalism is nothing but fake news. I said nothing but fake news. It is taking issues and putting the journalist's slant on issues. And they're reporting the slant of how they see it rather than what the facts are. What is going to happen to our government in Washington, D.C.? We need revival like we've never needed revival before. Come on, church. I said we need revival like we've never needed revival. When God brings forth in revival, it will touch Capitol Hill, It will touch the courthouse, the schoolhouse, the church house. It'll touch this whole nation. And God knows we need revival like we've never needed revival. And revival never breaks out in the best of times. It breaks out in the worst of times. So I have to remind myself sometime when I want to throw my shoe through my television set, this is the kind of situation that revival breaks out in. I look at some of the networks. I go to them on purpose, and I know what I'm going to hear before I get there. And as soon as I get there on my remote, they're talking about it. And I can't stay long. And you might say, Brother Kilpatrick, are you a Fox News watcher? Less and less. I can't even stand to watch much of Fox now. Because you see that germ is loose in journalism. It's a germ that's loose, and it's beginning to affect even the good conservative news broadcasts. If Jesus tarries his coming, you better get ready because it's going to be very difficult for you to find truth anymore. Are y'all listening? I told you this is not going to be pleasant today, but you know what? It's needed. Can you say amen? Amen. Beware also. Please hear me. I'm not blowing us up and making us look good and making somebody else look bad. I'm just talking facts. Just as there's false news, there's also false pulpits. The Lord told me one day I was praying and he said, son, there's churches that once propagated the gospel and they were lighthouses, but he said the light has gone out and now they're actually propagating the things of Satan. And he said, they're actually promoting the things of Satan and the things that my word stands against, they're now for it. And he said, I'm going to come and remove their candlestick. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, I'm not in a bad mood. And I'm not upset. I'm just trying to paint you a picture of the way things really are right now. And I don't know if anybody has the guts to tell you, but I'm going to tell you while you're here. So when you leave, just remember some of these things are going to ring in your head after we dismiss here. But just as there are false news and false fake news, there's also now fake preaching of the gospel and fake teachers. The Bible said if there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, the Lord said, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. So they'll privately do it. Say it with me out loud. They'll privately do it. They'll privately get together in staff meetings and board meetings and agree to change the gospel from the gospel into a socially accepted whatever it is, but it's not the gospel. And it said who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. You know what that means? The cross is out. Communion is out. Preaching of the blood is out. The workings of the Holy Spirit is out. You're going to have now, instead of a preacher, you're going to have a lecturer. And what they're going to lecture will have nothing to do with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. It will be damnable heresies. You need to hear it, and you need to hear it straight. Come on, help me, somebody. And the Bible says, even denying the Lord that bought them. That hurts me to read that. But it's going to get so bad in the last days that they will privately get together and say, we can't preach this anymore. If we're going to get people in this church and we're going to attract people in this church and keep them, we got to get rid of this blood gospel. We got to get rid of this strong preaching. We got to get rid of this moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said they'll even deny the Lord that bought them. Well, what do you call yourself if you deny the Lord that bought you? You're not a church. You're a club. I said, you're not a church. Take the sign down off the cotton picking highway. Take it down. I said, take it down. Don't advertise yourself as a church. Woo! My God. I was in California, and I got there that night, and the pastor came in to meet me, and I don't know why he even invited me. I think some of his church had been to Brownsville, and they wanted me to come, so I think they talked him into having me come. So he said, I want to talk to you now before you go out there. I said, okay. He said, now, pastor, he said, now, listen, don't preach on the blood. He actually said it to me. He said, don't preach on the blood of Jesus. Don't preach on this stuff called the rapture. He said, I don't want you preaching about the cross. I don't want you preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he kept on, and I interrupted him, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. What am I doing here? Because you've just taken all the bullets out of my guns. I don't have anything to fire. I don't have anything to say. And I said, furthermore, I can't believe you're talking to me like this as a so-called preacher of the gospel. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Woo! Come on now, y'all better help me. Woo! Look what he says. Let's finish reading this. It said, even denying the Lord bought them. They deny in him. You know, when Nathan was overseas and he had his immigration problems, he flew from London to Atlanta, and he called me from Atlanta, at least Rachel did. And she said, Brother Kilpatrick, they won't let us in. She said, they have denied our entrance into America. When I heard her say that, it stuck in my mind, because that's what this word here says, denying the Lord that bought them. In other words, they have now reconfigured the church into something other than the church, and they have said to the Lord, you can't come in. Let's say it like it is. You can't come in. You're not welcome here. Well, let me say this to you. If you're a pastor and you're thinking about inviting me to your church, if you don't love the Holy Spirit, if you don't love the glory, and you don't love the blood of Jesus Christ, don't call me. I will not come. I will not come. And it said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Said, many will follow them. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Look at that. Y'all looking at this with me? Look at that. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what? The day's going to come when I'll be up preaching like this, and 50, 100, 150 people will get up and walk out. But what you're not prepared for is, I'm going to follow you down the aisle all the way out the door. And I'm going to be shaking the Bible at you as you go out in the parking lot. It's the truth, it's the truth, it's the truth.
I hate to break in the program, but guess what? Tomorrow we're going to finish and continue on with this message, Iniquity Drives, from Pastor John Kilpatrick. Listen, I want to pray with you right now. Let's just pray, because this is such an important revelation. Father God, I pray right now over each and every one that's here watching and listening, Father God, that you would encourage them, that you would speak to them, that you come not only to save us, but to set us free, Father God, from this very bent, this iniquity drive that's in the flesh that came at the fall of man. Father God, I just speak freedom over our audience. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And don't forget, part two is tomorrow.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN-KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.